Kamala. Where are we going today?
I've got an interesting one, and they're all interesting, right? They're all crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Crazy. Uh-huh.
Hey, so I have to give a shout out to one of our listeners. Her name is Jenny Delcamp. She left a comment on Spotify. So cool. Here's the bad news. I can't reply to a comment on Spotify. It's so stupid. I can only allow it to go public or not, to publish it or not. That's my only option. So I have to do it this way to give you a shout out. I hope you get this message. It was so cute. She and her daughter had driven up Highway 101 for 8 hours. They listened to Pamela Private Eye. It is so cute. I loved to hear that. And she said she would have listened for another 8 because she loves it. Thank you. You totally made our day. That was the coolest thing I've heard in a long time. So thank you for taking time to listen. That's a lot of hours to listen to us talk. And thank you for taking time to leave a comment. That really means a lot. We appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Before we get in, I want to tell a quick joke. I usually do a true crime joke or something in that vein, but My dad passed away 4 years ago. He was such a funny guy. He always made me laugh.
Loved him.
Thank you.
Big giant of a man. He's just so loving.
Yeah. And his wit. Oh my gosh. So quick-witted.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't just tell jokes. He was just funny as could be. And I miss his humor so much. I just miss him. So it was his birthday last week. And in honor of that, I'm going to tell one of his favorite jokes that he used to always tell. Hey. You'll appreciate this because your family lived in Texas for a bit. You tell this joke about this guy and his wife traveling through Texas that were from Logan, which is the small town that Shelly and I are from.
Northern Utah.
Yeah. And they stop at a gas station that was a full service back in the day. And the guy comes up and he says, do you want me to wash your windows? And he said, where are you folks from? And the guy says, we're from Logan, Utah. And he said, oh, really? That's a beautiful place. And the guy's wife says, what'd he say? And he said, he asked us where we're from. And I told him we're from Logan. And she said, oh. And then he comes back. And he says, I'm filling it up for you, sir. And he said, you know, I passed through Logan one time. I was there at school. And I met a woman that she was really not that attractive. And she was just terrible in bed. And his wife said, what did he say? And the guy turns and says, he said he thinks he knows you.
Oh, oh, that's bad.
It is really bad. But my dad would tell that that's one a lot. Funny. So,
oh, that's hysterical. Yeah.
Then we know he'd always have to say, I'm not talking about Marie, my mother. So anyway, this episode today, this is a case I did with Jack. Remember Jack that didn't know Jack?
We did Jack. No Jack that didn't know Jack.
This is back in the Jack days. And I usually didn't do a DUI case for Jack. But if it was like a really difficult one and troubling, then Jack would pull me in. And this was one of those.
Okay.
So Jack, he just tells me, like, they give me so little information, as you may recall. But when they would hire me, his secretary would call and be like, Pamela, we have a new case for you. She did tell me it was a DUI case, and here's the guy's name. So I call him and I meet with him, and it was really interesting. It's always fascinating to me because I don't care what religion it is. Sometimes we get caught up in the image of our religion or our persona.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And our persona and the image become more important to us than the reality of who we are.
Okay.
And this guy's name was Paul, and he was the epitome of that. The image, like, was more important than his reality. So, and of course, I don't know that at first. So I meet with him. He comes across as a really clean cut guy. He happened to be Mormon.
Okay.
And he lived his religion. That's getting scarcer and scarcer these days.
He lived his religion religiously?
Yes. Yeah.
That was funny.
That was a good one. Yes, he did. And he was married, had a couple really little kids. He was probably, Callie's probably only like in his early 30s.
Okay.
He told me he was Mormon and that he's active in the Mormon church. And so he doesn't drink. He doesn't do this stuff. And I said, well, how did you get a DUI? What's going on? And he says, well, and now this is probably in the middle of my time working with Jack. So this was quite a while ago. This is the first I'd ever heard of fentanyl. And when I heard of fentanyl, this is before all of you had heard of fentanyl. I'm almost absolutely certain of it. We did not know what the crap this new drug was. We didn't know what fentanyl was. So I'll just tell you kind of how I came across learning what it was. And it was never in the, like, no news. There was nothing in the news about this. This was so new.
Gotcha.
And he says, well, I don't know how I got a DUI. It just didn't make any sense because I don't drink. And I said, look, whatever you tell me is protected by the privilege. Like, you can tell me these things. I trust you, but I don't use drugs. I said, were you taking anything? Well, yeah, I had just had carpal tunnel surgery.
Okay.
And after the surgery, I had pain. And so the doctor would prescribe different painkillers. And he ended up prescribing a drug. And I said, well, what's the drug called? Because I have to know everything. I've got to know the details. What's the drug?
Yeah, I said, I mean, that's your whole job, right? Is details.
And he said, it's fentanyl. So I'm writing this down. How do you spell it? I didn't know. I'd never heard of it. I said, I've never heard of this drug. And he's like, yeah, it's a new painkiller on the market. It's really good. It's really amazing. It really helps with the pain. And I said, well, how long has it been since you've had your surgery? It was almost a year after his carpal tunnel surgery.
Oh, so he may not be taking quote unquote drugs, but he's gotten hooked up on drugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the light went on for me very quickly. And what I learned was he was taking this fentanyl in a sucker form. And the only way I can associate it is how I associated it in my head back then. You know, there's probably way too many details. We had a public swimming pool when I was a kid. My family did. A swimming pool and water slide.
Mm-hmm. The funnest, best place it was, ever.
Logana. It was so fun. I loved it. And in all of the valley, it was like the only water park, the only outdoor swimming pool.
Around.
And the reason for that is in Logan, we have 10 months of freezing cold. And then we have 2 months of bad ice skating, as my dad used to say. So having a water park maybe wasn't the smartest thing we ever did, but boy, was it a fun business. And the whole family, my parents got it so they could teach us kids to work. And we had to work. We weren't able to quit or get fired was the rule.
Yeah.
At our swimming pool, we had a candy counter. So I grew up eating tons of candy and soda pop, which I don't even drink pop anymore. But candy's still sugar's still a problem for me. I haven't been able to kick that. And, you know, I don't drink, don't smoke, don't sleep around. That's the only vice I have. So don't take that away from me.
That's right.
It's my only thing. But there were these suckers. I don't know if you remember them, Shelly. They were really like chalky sugar. It was like a chalk, almost like a Smartie on a sucker.
Oh, yes. Were they round?
Yes, they were round.
Yes.
And you'd like bite it and it'd just be like break into powder, like powdered sugar stuff in your mouth. Yeah. So that's kind of how these fentanyl suckers work.
Oh,
like very quickly dissolvable. And he would put them, because I said, well, how many pills did you take? Well, I didn't take pills. Well, he's like, I don't even take pills. Well, how did you get fentanyl? Was it a patch? No, it wasn't a patch, because I was already familiar with patches from other cases. And he's like, no, it wasn't a patch. It was a sucker. I'd never heard of this one in my life. Like, okay. A fentanyl sucker. What the crap is that? How does it work? He said, you just take the sucker, and because it's so dissolvable like that, you just rub it on the inside of your cheek and it would dissolve and it would go immediately. And I'm like, oh, I get it. Because it's like putting a pill under your tongue. Or like, so when someone has a heart attack, here's a clue for everyone. I don't know if you already know this. If you don't, let me tell you, if you have chest pains and like, I think I'm having a heart attack, take an aspirin and either put it under your tongue and let it dissolve. Or if you're in a hurry, chew it. Don't swallow it. Chew it. You need it in that saliva, in that system. And that's essentially what this was doing.
Well, the tissue in your mouth dissolves. That's like why they do like sublinguals under your tongue is because it absorbs so quick.
So quickly.
Into your body.
Yeah. And so I start asking, well, how did this work? How many of these suckers would you take? How many milligrams of this? And he'd say, oh, you know, I would go sit in my garage and listen to motivational stuff. I'd listen to like Tony Robbins or Wayne Dyer, I'd listen to this stuff because he did sales for a living. He said, I'd go sit out in my car in the garage and listen, and I would take these suckers and just rub them on my cheek while I listened to this stuff.
So he was getting stoned when he didn't even realize he was getting stoned.
Maybe.
Or I don't know if he didn't realize.
Right. But that was his story. At least his story was that, hey, this was just all for the pain. I said, well, what's your wife thinking about you sitting in? How long would you be out there? Oh, I'd go out there and listen for an hour or two or three. What? And you have young kids and your wife's in the house taking care of the kids. And she's like, oh, my sweetheart's just out there
listening to podcasts,
sucking on suckers. What? Did she know?
Yeah, what is going on here?
What the heck? I said, so how did it come about that you got a DUI? Well, these suckers, how many suckers had you sucked on? How many that rubbed on your cheek? How many did you use? Well, six of them. How many are you supposed to use?
Wait, six in a day? Six in an hour?
Six in like a one sitting at night. And so that he's still high, obviously. Holy Hannah's right.
Holy.
I'll tell you how strong this stuff is later. So the next morning, he gets up and he's driving to work and he's weaving. He can't stay in one lane. So they're concerned. They think he's drunk. Yeah, imagine that.
Of course.
So they pull him over and they give him a breathalyzer. He blows zeros. And this, again, this is back before... Really, of all this stuff.
And fentanyl was,
So they say, have you taken anything? No. Well, are you on any drugs? Well, yeah, I'm on some painkillers for the surgery I had. Now, he doesn't have any bandage on his arm or anything anymore. So I'm sure they're suspect of everything he's saying.
Right.
So they won't let him drive. They take him in their car and they take him in for a blood test. This stuff was so new to the world, even though it was prescribed by a doctor. There was no level to say, this level in the blood is your level of impairment.
Right.
You can't have over this in the blood. Like for alcohol, we know 0.08. In most states, it's 0.08. I think Utah changed it to 0.06, which actually I think is ridiculous to me. 0.06, people can blow 0.06 with one drink. I don't believe someone's impaired with one drink. Now, if you've ever listened to my podcast, you know I'm not a proponent
of
alcohol. Yeah. I'm not a drinker.
Yeah.
But this is ridiculous. If we're trying to make the world safer, you don't lower it so no one can have a drink. What we need to do is be harsher on the people that are getting multiple DUIs. We're doing it. We're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah. How can someone that causes an accident kill someone and you find out that they've had six DUIs and keep getting out?
Exactly. And so instead, our brilliant legislators in this state decided, well, what we need to do is lower the alcohol level. No, that's not the problem. Those are not the people causing our biggest problem. But that's just my common sense kicking in again, causing problems. So...
I hate it when they don't ask us our opinion.
I know. It makes me so mad.
And when they do, they don't listen.
I know. And we know so much, you and I.
I know. So, we are powerful.
Yes, we are. So we have these blood levels of fentanyl, but no one knows a thing about what it means. We don't know where the level is of impairment. So, but I don't know that yet. I have the test. Yeah. The officers, when they go to arrest him, when they pull him out of the car and have him do the test, he doesn't pass the sobriety test.
Okay.
He can't stand on one leg. He's impaired doing all of these things.
Yeah, he's stoned, but nobody knows he's stoned because they don't know what he's on.
And those suckers literally have like a sucker stick, like a candy, like those candies I used to have out at Logano as a kid. And there are six sucker sticks on the floor. And the wrapper, and they can see it's not like a candy wrapper. This is a unique wrapper. So they're like, what is this? Well, that's how I take this. So they're immediately concerned, handcuff him, put him in the car, take him to the station, check his blood. And now he's telling me like, this is all good. I interview with him for like an hour, listening to him explain all of this stuff to me. And like halfway through, I'm like, I had already figured out what my opinions were. And I'm still listening as a courtesy, but at the end I said, okay, here's the deal, Paul. You have a drug problem.
Drug, not drunk.
No.
I
said, and I said, this is your first DUI. I know how the system works. Most likely, if we agree to get you in a rehab place, do some kind of treatment for your drug problem, you'll get through this without much damage, the littlest amount of damage. And that's my suggestion. I'll get this report to Jack and we'll get this moving. And he's like, well, I don't know if I'm an addict. I said, look, you can't fool me. I've been around this.
It quacks like a duck.
It's a duck. And you're a duck. Yeah. So I said, yeah, this is how it is. I'll do the report in the morning for Jack and then we'll let him decide how he proceeds. But that's where I am after looking at what I have and talking with you. So he's like, you know what? You're probably right. I need help. Yeah, I should probably get some help getting off of this stuff. So he leaves.
I have a question. So his wife, of course, has no idea because this is prescription. We have a tendency to excuse the behavior because it's quote unquote prescription. It's not like a heroin or a cocaine. So we have it as mind is like, well, the doctor wouldn't prescribe it if, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
We kind of live in that bubble. But what is his wife thinking at this time? Do you have any idea? I mean, he's just been arrested.
I actually don't have an idea at this time. But I said, is she concerned about what you're doing? And he said, no. And I'm glad you brought this up because at the end of our conversation, when I'm telling them you have a problem, we need to get you help. Part of that was, hey, look, this is maybe a real huge blessing for you because we caught it early. So you're not years into this addiction.
Right. And it hasn't ruined your whole life.
Yeah, I said, it's really sweet that your wife is such a sweet, innocent person that she's not suspicious of this. I would be. Because that's who, like the world I've lived
in.
But she, thankfully, that's not her world. Like, God bless her that she has been able to live, like in a world that this stuff wasn't an issue. And so she didn't have the knowledge to even be suspicious. I said, but I think you've taken a bit of advantage of that because the sweet woman has no idea what's going on and you're letting her think you need these prescriptions still. I don't know what the deal is with that doctor. Once again, I'm going to shout out all these doctors that are writing these scripts. If you are smart enough to get your medical license, you know this person is an addict after months of carpal tunnel surgery. Come on.
Right.
And he's still taking this, but he can use his hand. Come on. This is ridiculous.
Well, but then again, nobody knew at that time the severity of fentanyl.
Of the fentanyl. But that's
and
true.
You don't know that he wasn't shopping doctors.
Right.
You know?
I'm writing my report, and I just get it done into Jack. And I get a phone call from Paul. And Paul says, hey, I've been thinking a lot about what you said last night, and I've decided that you're wrong. I'm not an addict. I don't need help.
Oh.
And I don't want you to send that report into Jack. And I said, well, okay.
Click.
Yeah. Click. Okay.
Sorry, could you hold? Click. Okay, sorry. It's too late.
Too late. And I said, okay. And he said, I just don't want you to give that opinion to Jack. And I said, all right. And he said, in fact, he goes, I've been thinking about it. I don't even want you to be my PI. I don't want you on this case.
Oh, wow.
I don't want you involved at all in my case. And I said, all right.
Wait. Can he do that? He can't fire you. Work for Jack.
Exactly.
Okay.
I said, okay, I will let Jack know how you feel. And I said, but just so you know, if you think you're going to be able to fool Jack, Jack's been around the block longer than I have. He's seen more than I have. I am absolutely certain you're not going to be able to pull the wool over his eyes. So
please try, because I'll just sit back with popcorn and watch. That's a show I'm ready for. Yeah. You're like, come on, dude.
Yeah. So then I give Jack an updated email and say he doesn't want me on the case. And here's where we are. So Jack replies and says, not only can he not fire you, but I need you to dig in more. I need you to find out what this drug is. I've never heard of this drug. Find out what it is, what its use is, like what the level, what we need to know is what level is there a level of impairment? All right. So
interesting.
I'm not communicating with Paul anymore. I'm just going to let Paul think that I'm out.
Then he fired you. Come on.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I'm going to let him think that I got fired. So I started doing work on fentanyl. Here's what I learned about fentanyl. It was designed for patients in their final stages of cancer that are in very, like, very acute yes. pain.
When morphine isn't touching it. You can get any drug that you want because you're on death's door.
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. And morphine.
I thank heavens they have it after exactly. watching Dirk.
No, there really is a reason. And I know
there is a need.
Mm-hmm. I say all the time that I hate drugs. I know there's a need for drugs. We have a need for drugs.
Of course there is.
People have needs for all kinds of drugs, for different things to get them through things in life. And whether it's physical or mental, emotional, whatever it is,
I totally agree.
A purpose for that. My problem comes in the abuse of the drug. And so sure. many of the drugs are abused, and so many of the doctors are closing an eye to it, or
yes.
just turning a blind eye to it. Because yeah. if they don't know better,
well, it's an epidemic throughout the nation.
It totally
so
is.
We're not saying, yeah, it we're not. Totally I mean, is. We're preaching to the choir.
We are.
But after saying that, thank heavens there are things that help.
Right. Yes, exactly.
But, yeah,
and fentanyl.
But there are always going to be people that are going to be addicted to something.
Everything. So, yeah. I mean, I watched My Crazy Addiction the other day. There was a woman that was addicted to eating toilet paper. So I'm telling you, there are.
Oh my gosh, that makes me want to throw up.
I know. So I think my dog has the same addiction. She will take a Kleenex out of your hand.
Shame on her.
I know, it's horrible. I will get her counseling as soon as I find a counselor I trust.
That's right. Okay.
So anyway, yeah, you could get addicted to anything and everything. Here's the amazing thing about fentanyl. Like those suckers, here's what's so cool about those suckers that I learned. For someone that has such acute pain with cancer or anything else, like they're in really like acute pain, not just any pain that is off the charts, and the morphine's not touching it. Fentanyl, especially in that sucker form that he was using it in, is so fast acting. You rub that on your cheek, it's immediately in your system. Within seconds, they will feel relief.
Right.
Compared to other drugs that like, okay, it'll hit you. Like we take it.
It'll take 30 minutes. Yeah. It's got to get into your system.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah. Just grit your teeth until then. This is like relief for these people immediately, which I am grateful that there is something like that. However, this guy was clearly abusing it. And there is no, I don't know.
If you're having six suckers and just a sit down, let's go out and listen to Tony Robbins. Yeah, there might be a problem.
There might be a problem.
Yeah.
And it's a synthetic opioid. All the opioids are addictive. Like be super, super careful. But fentanyl is up to 50 times stronger than heroin. And 100 times stronger than morphine. When I said it's stronger than morphine, it's 100 times stronger than morphine. Oh, here's what's another thing that's cool about it. It can be given as a shot. It can be given as a patch on someone's skin, as lozenges.
Interesting.
That are sucked like cough drops.
Or a sucker, sounds like.
Yeah. There are two types of fentanyl. We know that. The pharmaceutical one that I'm talking about, which can still be abused. Or the illegal one, which are often being made in China. And I mean, there are cases. There's a case that we may talk about it later.
A lot of them are cutting it into like cocaine to add to the kick. That's how adding, people are OD'ing so quick.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
They're adding it. And here's the problem.
Nothing's clean anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. And the dosage, the lethal amounts of it. So the amount for it to kill someone, it only takes 2 milligrams. Of it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 milligrams can be lethal. Mm-hmm. And to put that in perspective for you, 2 milligrams is like 10 to 15 granules of salt, of table salt.
Right.
That's how small the amount is.
We had to take a couple of classes when I was an administrator.
Uh-huh.
And when fentanyl had just come out, like, you know, like you're talking, it was fascinating and scary.
Yeah, super scary. I really think that there's a battle between good and evil in our world. And
yes,
no matter what
sure.
it is that we have, like the internet is good. And then people will take that good, amazing, beautiful thing and turn it into evil. And and then we get child porn and all these evil, sadistic things going over the internet that wouldn't.
For sure.
Like when I was a kid, people had to actually get in their car and drive to go buy pornography. It made it difficult. It's,
right. So, like, where can I find a dirty magazine or whatever?
Yeah. So that or battle between,
whatever it came out on,
And it almost seems like the more powerful the tool is, the harder the dark side, the evil will fight to get control of it. And we see that. We see that with the internet. We see it with fentanyl, with drugs. And so they lace.
Political. We see it in business. You see it everywhere. There's always a good and a bad.
Yes, exactly. And in this case, we got him. We saved his license. I'm not sure we did a good thing there. But Jack saved his driver's license because it was his first offense. He had to pay a big fine. He said that he would do treatment. I don't believe they actually even followed through the system, like, forced any kind of checks and balance on him, because there are so many people that are dealing with this stuff with DUIs that DUIs get lost in the system a lot. And if it's your first DUI, it's really easy to get lost in the system.
Hopefully they've learned their lesson. If not, we'll catch you the second round.
So I hadn't talked to Paul for a long time as he was going through the process. But then he called a couple months later and he said, you know what? I just wanted to thank you because you were right. I had a problem. I fessed up to my wife. She didn't know anything that was going on. She didn't understand what I was doing. He said, I don't know how to thank you enough because you forced me. And so I didn't think he'd done anything, but he actually did do some kind of counseling, group therapy. I don't know what it was, but he acknowledged he had a problem and he was done. And, and so I was like, this is awesome. Paul, I'm so happy to hear this. Like, that's great news. Go and sin no more.
Well, and he just saved his family and his whole life.
Right. Well, so I thought. So 2 years later, I get a call from Paul and he says, Pamela, I need your help.
Wait, you're already fired.
I know. What the heck?
Wait, Paul.
You fired me a long time ago. You might need to rehire me.
Yeah, so he says,
exactly. He's like, I need your help. I need you to set up my house because I know my wife is bugging my house. I know that she's watching everything that I'm doing. And he went on and on. And I said, I listened to him for about 10 minutes. Now,
wait, are they still together?
They were still together. I said, oh, so you're still with your wife? And he said, yes. And I said, that's great. And then he said, but she's bugging the house. She's doing all this stuff. I know she's tapping my phones and it, oh my gosh.
The paranoia.
The paranoia. I said, and I listened to him for about 10 minutes and I said, Paul, number one, it's super hard to tap someone's phone. Like really, really difficult. Can a spouse do it? Yes. And I'm not going to tell people how, but you can do it. You can do it.
I probably better not to announce that.
I probably should not announce it. It is possible to tap someone like a phone that's someone close to you, like in your home. If you could do anyone, but to just go tap someone. And he's like, yeah, she and her friends are doing this. And her family, they're all tracking me. They're doing it. I'm listening.
They're trying to do an intervention. And he's thinking.
I'm like, Paul, you have got a problem with drugs again. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's fentanyl or if you're moved to something else. You've got a problem. I can't help you. This paranoia you're feeling is because of the drugs. And I can't tell you, as listeners, I get so many phone calls from people that are on drugs that look up a PI and call me and they're like, I'm not making this up. I had a call a month ago from a guy who said that they were tracking him through his radio. They're listening to everything I'm doing through the radio, through my car radio. I'm scared to even talk to you on the phone. I had to go get a burner phone just so I could call you to ask you. You're the only person I can trust to help me. This person didn't even know me. And he's like, you're the only one that I need help. I know the government's tapping into my life. It's so...
Okay, stop right there, because you know everybody's covering up the picture, the cameras on their computer, and Alexa is listening to us, and that's true.
That is true.
Yeah.
So no, it is. Paranoia, it's absolutely true.
It's a fine line.
Fine line. Sadly, do I think that his wife was doing? This is the woman that was so sweet and naive. She didn't know that he was high when he was high for months.
Right.
So, but yeah.
Now that she knows, and they've gone through the court.
Now she probably is figuring things out. I don't believe she would. Yeah. I have a hard time believing she was so sophisticated to do what he thought she was doing. And I said, Paul, I really want to help you. Go to rehab. Yeah. Go get cleaned up. And if you still feel like this is happening, call me.
Right. Right.
Call me back and I'm all over it. I never heard from Paul again. So
yeah,
I hope he went to rehab, got cleaned up and realized, oh my gosh, I called her and sounded like
alive.
It sounded like I was wearing a tinfoil hat. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a crazy case. And then fentanyl just took off and spread. And now it's involved in almost every case that we have.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's awful. I'm scared of all drugs. And that one, maybe the most. It's really, really scary how powerful that is. So don't use drugs, kids. Don't try this at home.
Do not. Well, and you know, it's so scary, but gosh, like try to be as aware as possible, you know?
Well, and it can happen to all of us. It really can.
Absolutely.
This guy, he was in his 30s. Sure. He'd never been a drinker, never used drugs before, has surgery.
Just a couple of surgery.
And then gets addicted to this, like, oh my gosh, very, very scary. So if you have a problem, please reach out for help. Please, please. You can get through it.
Yeah.
You can get through it. There is other side. There's light on the other side. There are people, we are reaching out our hands to help you. So please reach out for help. Don't just lay down and die with this. Don't let it take your soul and your body, because it will.
You know,
and
they,
it will take all your relationships.
Oh, and your whole life. They teach a thing Bill has taught me. He said, when they're talking about flying, they say, trust the instruments. Because sometimes when that's how you can tell a veteran pilot. Because if not, you can be upside down in your plane and not realize it because of all that, right? Trust the instrument. Mm-hmm. Don't let your brain try to figure it out, because our mind is going to go back to what makes sense in our head.
Yep.
So I have to say this. I've never done drugs and that and that. But sometimes we have to trust the people that we love more than we trust our brain and what we're thinking, because our brain is going to try to rationalize and figure it out in our own head. So
our brain can trick us.
People it that really you can. Love and who you So that might be easier said than done, but.
Yeah. So be super careful. I hope that meant he got cleaned up. I'm going to pretend like that's what happened. He got clean and never needed my help again. So
let's hope that that's what happened.
So if you're wearing a tinfoil hat out there and listening to this and someone tells you you need help, please accept the help. Just take it.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
That was kind of a crazy one, but thank you for listening.